Baseball fans, BetMGM is giving you the chance to win a prize every day during the baseball season. Step into the batter's box for BetMGM's Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. Pick any area of the strike zone and take your best swing. If you get a single, double, triple, or home run, you'll receive a prize. Smash a home run to collect a bonus bet on us. Just log into your BetMGM Sports account to get started. Then visit your promotion section to access the Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. You'll score a prize if you hit a single, double, triple, or home run. There's nothing more exciting than going yard, so swing for the fences with the king of sportsbooks. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards vary depending on the market and expire 24 hours from issuance. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
At Parker, our purpose is simple. We want to make the world a better place. By working more efficiently, by using more sustainable practices, by developing better technologies, we keep moving forward. With each new idea, innovation, and partnership, we're one step closer to fulfilling our purpose every single day. To find out more, visit parker.com/purpose. Parker, engineering your success.
Hello and welcome to The Promised Land, a show about Manchester United, the leaky roof, defeats to Arsenal, and...
Leaky roof Reds.
I'm absolutely flabbergasted by this, honestly. Like, we're breaking down, Rob and I, I'm Scott, by the way, we are breaking down Man United's 1-0 defeat to Arsenal. It could have been a whole lot worse, but we're a little bit late because... I'm flabbergasted by the videos of the water trickling down the stairs.
The flooding. The Noah's Ark needed to get out of Old Trafford.
Yeah. Bigger story than the football today. Arsenal will take the title race to the last day. Tottenham will feel the same kind of weird dilemma that Man United felt today.
They'll feel it different.
They'll feel it a lot worse, won't they? I think
they will be like, we're lying down on the ground because we don't want this lot to win the title. We didn't feel that today, did we? It was kind of a little bit more like,
I think some people did.
Yeah, but I thought are we going to do something strange here today? Like, I know you felt that United might get a result, and actually, Scott, as the day crept on today, I felt similar. I was like, just would be typical United here to just play well, but they didn't play well, but they actually played all right. Like, it could have been a lot worse, and there is some talking points, I think, from the game, even though, I don't know, relatively bland, but some interesting bits and pieces.
I wouldn't say well, I would say it was more coherence to what they did today, Aaron.
Well, compared to a lot of this season. Aaron, a lot of the things you and me have done week after week after week, we've gone, what are we watching? This was actually more like, you know, you can keep a ball. Man United had 54% possession today, Scott. Proves Man United can keep a ball against a very good team, a ball possession team as well, like Arsenal. So, yeah, interesting little bits and pieces. We'll try and dig through them today.
Aaron says, if we played like that all season, top four easily. As in play well, just compact-ish. And I think it was. It was compact. Let's not get carried away.
Competent.
It was more competent. Yeah. And less alien than what we usually see, the parting of the water between, like, you know, the defense and the attack. Mm. No midfield. There was actually a midfield there today, and they actually worked it through midfield quite well. But yes, this is The Promised Land. We're doing a live show. In case you haven't guessed already, we're going live after the Arsenal defeat. I'm not that disappointed, I gotta be honest. It is what it is. When I saw that team sheet today, I thought, oh my God, this is going to be awful. And it was better than I thought. It really shows exactly where Man United are as a football club at the moment. But yes, myself and Rob are back for a Promised Land podcast live on YouTube. So if you haven't subscribed already, please do that. Get in the comments as well. We'll read some out as we go along. Also, subscribe to the show on audio. Apple and Spotify is where you can find us. Give us a 5-star review. And the YouTube channel as well. Please subscribe, leave a comment, all of that jazz. And hit the notification bell so you never miss a show. We run twice weekly.
Yes.
Tuesdays and Fridays usually, but this is a different Sunday episode for you. Rob decided not to go to Old Trafford today and get soaking wet.
Quite pleased.
Usually does.
Yeah, I've been ill, like I've said on the podcast the last week, and I just thought to myself, I could go, I could attend this thing where Arsenal win a title and all of this. You know, do I really want to do it? And as I was rough, and I was like, do you know what? Let's watch it with the rest of the world, and then let's do a show on it, which is what we're doing right now. So thank you to everyone that's joined us live. And of course, if you're watching on playback, thank you for that as well. A lot of people I can see in the comments, Scott, like a lot of our regulars, people who tweet us and stuff. So thank you, please. Thank you for joining. And yes, please share with everyone that you know, to Man United fans, and they can join us live and talk about the game.
Yeah, really. Thank you so much for your support and for your continued habit of tuning in. We do have a little bit more of an agenda today than we usually than we did last time. Anyway, we rabbited on for 1 hour and 15 minutes. I don't know if we'll be here for that long today, but you can follow us on social as well, at @_ScottSaunders, @_Rob_B, and @TPLMUFC on X as well. But right, let's get into it, shall we? You talk, Rob, about whatever you felt like you wanted to talk about. What's your biggest takeaway from today? And I'll scroll through the comments to see if there's anything that we can fold into the conversation.
Well, of course, I think before the game, I kind of had a relatively low opinion about what was going to happen today. And I thought that Arsenal would come and do the job. Well, Arsenal did do the job 1-0, but I think it shows, doesn't it, that maybe they've got a ton of nerves stacked on top of them. Like, they didn't really play well at all. And I don't actually think they stage managed the day very well. Like, again, if Man United had any attacking coherency or some creativity or something today, Scott, I think United get something out of this. They get a point, probably. Every time poor Alejandro got the ball, and you could see his legs going, Garnacho running through, and I just thought, that boy's had a really long season. He looks knackered. I felt really bad for him. But at the same time, you know, no Bruno in the team, zero creativity, but there was actually some added upside on that, because Bruno being in midfield meant that you controlled some of midfield better. So there, it was an interesting game for that, Scott, in the sense of that it was a solid display from United with a different formation to what we've seen all season long. And you're playing probably one of the best teams in the world. And there were positives. There were some positives in there that we haven't seen against much lesser teams this year. In my head, for some reason, I'm just thinking Fulham. When I was at the Fulham game, just always crops up about how you're managing scenario. So a ravaged Man United team today in terms of the injuries, once again, as we've got used to. But there was better things happening there. And I felt today, Scott, was this is a question I'll put to our audience and to yourself, was this the Jason Wilcox performance? Was this someone behind the scenes saying, no, you got to be coherent now. You got to start being competent, because it's not acceptable that you just play counter press and lose games and get smashed like 4-0 at Crystal Palace and elsewhere. So, interesting game of football, Scott, in something that ultimately wasn't that important to Manchester United long term, but was more important in the sense that Arsenal obviously needed that 3 points to keep the title race alive.
It could have been the Jason Wilcox performance that you just talked about, and maybe that is what we'll see more of in the future from United. But it also could have been Erik ten Hag thinking, oh my God, if we do what we've been doing against Arsenal, who are quite good, we are going to lose 5-6 at home, and I can't withstand that. I think, you know, I wouldn't say they were unlucky today. I think Arsenal did shade it, really, because all they had to do was really turn up, and once they'd scored, just keep United at bay. And yeah, they weren't brilliant. United weren't brilliant either, but they showed a little bit more coherence than usual. And yeah, in the end, Arsenal did enough. They really did, because United didn't. They lacked a cutting edge. I think the lack of Bruno Fernandes, whatever you say about him, you know, he makes stuff happen. He finds those passes. He provides assists. He provides goals. He steps up when it matters. You know, sometimes or quite often. And United didn't really have that. They were toothless today, you know. I think Garnacho, for me, I really admired today Garnacho's just continue. And this is always what he does. His continued desire to just get up and take the ball and run and commit defenders. And he didn't have a good game today. He didn't, because ultimately a lot of what he did ended up in, you know, in he gave the ball away or he'd slip over or something, but you can't fault the kid's attitude. There's just, you know, he shouldn't really be in a position at 19 where he's having to start as many games in a row as he has and be depended on like he is. But I think I was happy-ish with the performances today. Just, you know, happy at a level of how far have we fallen? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's kind of how I felt and how I took it today. But before we move on, I did want to just mention, I don't know how much we'll do on this, but congratulations to the Man United women's team who won the FA Cup against Tottenham today. I saw Ella Toombs, first half injury time belter.
Screamer. What a goal.
Belter. So, you know, biggest moment of the day really goes to the women's team, you know, winning an FA Cup. Unbelievable achievement. 4-0. It was a procession in the end against Tottenham, but big congratulations to them.
Yes, massive congratulations. So I kind of watched the game and was really interested, obviously, to see what they did and how they played. And just a well-coached, coherent football team, yeah? So, like, men's team, go and watch them, see what they do. And I think today we actually saw a little bit of coherency from the men's team as well. But I just think the women's team as well, to get a trophy, I think, after the last two or three seasons, they've deserved it because obviously they became close last year to Premier League, but it's not been a great season for the women this year. So this is a nice kind of pat on the back to take that FA Cup, to bring the trophy back to Old Trafford. Because I think last year they were so disappointed not to secure that Premier League title. And now they move forward. You think about players that they've lost last year. It's still a rebuilding project going on in that team. So congratulations to them all.
Yeah, could lose Mary Earps as well, but we will see.
I think that's probably the natural thing now. She has to kind of go in the sense of where United are compared to other football teams. It's just she wants to win titles, doesn't she? And I don't think you can begrudge her if she wants to do that.
Yes. Congratulations to the Man United women's team. 4-0 winners in the women's FA Cup final over Tottenham at Wembley. It was a beautiful day at Wembley.
Mm-hmm.
It was a nice day in Manchester for most of the day as well, until like the last 10 minutes of that game. And now I'm seeing, honestly, if you haven't seen these already, just go over to your social media and just look at the leakage through the roof at Old Trafford. It is absolutely unbelievable how we've got to the point where that is possible at one of the best should be one of the best stadiums in the world. Like, how is that possible?
I can't. Definitely, like, isn't.
Not. But, you know, I can't. Let's just do this for a second, because is that not a signifier of just like of the erosion of Manchester United under the ownership of the Glazers? Like, it is. It's unbelievable. I can't get over it. Honestly, I can't get over it.
Glazernomics in a thunderstorm. That's what that is. So I think, you know, as people still pour into our room as we go in live here, thank you as well to a lot of people in the comments. Loads of good comments. So please, please keep them going. I think when you look at that rainstorm and you see that biblical rain falling down the stairs, it actually shows, doesn't it, Scott, that, you know, the theatre of dreams or the theatre of rain, whatever you want to call it today, it needs replacing. It's no longer fit for purpose. You can't really have floods of water going down the stairs like you see the pictures. So go on our socials there. I think I've posted it, so has Scott, different videos. But it's not anything we don't know. So again, it's just kind of a little bit of end of days feel, isn't it? Like, I know we're going to talk some more positive stuff today, but change is coming. I'm going to keep saying it. That's the drum I'm banging. And hopefully in a couple of years' time, we won't be talking about the rain pouring down the stairs.
Well, we'll see. Right, if you're watching the stream, please like the stream and get involved in the comments. I'm going to run through a few of them now, if I can.
Yes, please.
Warwick Road Andy says, currently sheltering under the East Stand that was that was sent through 45 minutes ago. I hope you didn't get too wet, but obviously... I can't expect that you managed to stay dry with everything that went on there.
Can we bring some up on the screen, Scott? Can we bring them up on the screen?
Yes, we can. I'll bring this one up from Finbar. If Ten Hag felt he could change his tactics versus Arsenal, why didn't he do that versus Palace? He's got responsibility to the club and the fans set the team up properly so at least they compete. Exactly. We'll come back to that one. Charles says, honestly, was looking forward more to this pod than the match. Thank you very much.
All right, Charles there. I think he's in Brooklyn watching the show, mate of mine. Hi, Charles.
Hello to you, Charles. We've got some other comments. Let's just come back to that one I just mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So why doesn't he do this? Why doesn't he play football with a coherence ever versus today? There was some kind of coherence. I know they lost the game, but there was more possession, there was more control, and it was against Arsenal. Every other week, it's basketball.
Yeah. Scott Saunders, are you asking me why Erik ten Hag doesn't try to lose football matches every week? Because the problem is that whatever he's trying to do, and we said on our last show, to people who are maybe too new here and don't watch The Promised Land, we said that there is a theory here that Erik is kind of putting his teams out to prove to Ineos that he needs different types of players and different styles of player. Well, I think what he proved today, with a million players injured, is that you can still play a compact style of football that doesn't mean you get smashed to shreds. You lost today to one of the best teams in the world because Casemiro doesn't jog out, or does jog out, I mean, from a pass out from the back, and you get done and Havertz works it out. So I think the thing is, Scott, this is why it doesn't wash. This is why, and I don't think fans are stupid. I think fans watch the games and they go, do you really have to do this every week? Because he spent 6 months, Scott, trying to prove a point, playing 4-1-4-1. And today he played 4-2-3-1, which we have begged the manager to do for months. And United were better and had more possession than a possession-based team like Arsenal. So I'm down with that. I agree with what people are saying now, because they're kind of like, hang on a second. It's now like, you know, you've got Newcastle coming and you've got Brighton and it's the end of the season. Why have we not seen some of this before? Like, you know, we say on the show, Scott, don't we? The players can't pass the ball. I think today they proved they can. You can't pass the ball 5 yards. You're a professional footballer on 250 grand a week. Yes, you can. So it's tactics and it's instructions. And today, United got those things right, Scott. They were compact. And Arsenal didn't play well. I get that. But even Arsenal on their worst day can beat most teams 3 or 4 nil. They really can. They're better than most teams. And yet today, you kind of did most of that work really, really well. I don't know what Erik has said after the game. I'm sure he'll say something very generic, but I do put that at his doorstep. I do say to him, the challenge is, why do your teams not do this more? You know, why are you so hell-bent on playing a counter-press style when you haven't got players that counter-press well? Like, maybe change it up a little bit, Erik, now and then, but you have to think he's going to live and die by that decision, Scott. What do you think?
Ten Hag has said, I was just scrolling through my feed, I've no doubt about this. Reference into if he believes he can still have a good influence at United. What I will say, right, is for the people calling Ten Hag a fraud, you know, he can do that. He's choosing not to, which is what I've been saying for all along. What he's trying to do is get an idea of playing football across with parts that don't work for it.
Yeah.
That's what I've been saying all season.
So is he in the right to do that then? That's a better question.
It depends on the long-term ambition. It depends on the long-term ambition.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
If they feel like this style of football can work with a perfect team, and you can have that other style to fall back on, and you can change things up, you know.
Yeah.
For one, like some of the games where they have played that football and it's turned out in a positive result, I quite enjoyed it. Most of the time. Let's say 95% of the time, it's crap. 95% of the time.
95% is terrible, but 5% of the time is all good. Now, like, I think the thing is like, I just want to see someone have a clue about what they're doing. And I think Erik ten Hag is better than what we've seen this season. And if he's chosen that, Scott, then he deserves the sack. Sorry, like I just how I feel about it now, because if he can put that team out today and do that against Arsenal, he could have done that against every Premier League team this year and would have come fourth and we'd been all right with it. We'd have gone, do you know what, Erik, build them, go buy players, play a different style of football, be progressive. But it's not progressive. It's chaos. That's different. It's a different world. And I can't believe he sat there with Jason Wilcox or Sir Jim Ratcliffe and gone, yeah, give me your millions and your billions and I'll just do this, because they're going to look at that and just go, it's mad. Because that's how we feel every week. So I don't know. Like I like you just said there about the word fraudulent, and I think again that gets thrown around on social media.
Oh yeah,
too
it's
much.
Just it's a
hashtag fraud. Yeah. Hashtag fraud. You know what I mean? But be honest. if you can do this today against Arsenal, but you haven't done it all season long through choice, there is something a little bit fraudulent about that decision. So I think the thing, that's the whole thing about it. It's like, whether he's right or wrong, well, if United come 7th, 8th, 9th, whatever this year, and you haven't done anything this season, and then what do we just say? Oh, it was injuries. Oh, we had lots of injuries. Oh, boo-hoo, Man United. You know, you could have done something different, and I think you could have done it better. You could have done, and you could have probably been on the edge of being top four. Aston Villa, we said this before, didn't we? You know, they're a little bit more pragmatic and they've worked their way up to fourth this year. You know, they're not the most show and tell side in the world. Scott, we're below Chelsea. Chelsea have had an awful season and we are below them and they are performing better than us in the running. So, yeah, I don't know. Like, I think today was a bit of an eye-opener because it does prove that some of these footballers that we have maybe discounted as being non-technical, they can be a little bit more technical. I think
it depends on the speed of the game, though.
Definitely. Well, you don't get any better technically than Arsenal, and Arsenal can pass through you and work through you if you're not compact. And I've watched too many games this season at Old Trafford and seen teams rip through our midfield from game one against Wolves. That never stopped, Scott. That bad thing kept happening all the time long. You said it with Bruno at the top of the show. I do think there's a valid conversation there to say that if Bruno's the 10, you're great, but if Bruno's the 8, you're not. And if Bruno's the 8, you've got trouble in there because you'll give the ball away. So you can create more, but the goal difference this year doesn't prove anything there. It doesn't say that you're a better team because you've got an extra bit of creativity. I'd rather take some of that away, Scott, and just be compact sometimes and just play the game as you see it and what's in front of you and try not to lose games so emphatically.
If you saw United play like that and create as much as they created today, I know they played worse team. They will play worse teams.
Yeah.
Would that not get a bit... like, would that not wear on you a little bit as well?
I think if it's a work in progress and you're making it that, you're telling the world, this is what we're trying to do, then I'm cool with it because it's about professionalism. If United came fourth playing like that, I'd go, that's fine because you've got a chance to go again next year. That's it. So it's cool. If you come eighth or ninth and a lot of it is just you self-mutilating yourself in football matches, then you're going to look at it differently. That's how I feel about it. I want to see United play an attacking brand of football, Scott, but not at all cost. I want to see a team be competent. I want to see, Scott, that they look like they've been coached. And there's a lot of times this year I'm kind of sick of saying that they don't look prepared. Today, with a scratch side, with a couple of kids who haven't played for a bit, and then you've got a bench of nobodies, and you've got Johnny Evans at centre-back again with Casemiro, they looked like they had a plan. And they actually kind of executed a lot of the plan. If they'd been a little bit more savvy on the front foot, like I think, you know, we could talk about Rasmus today. I think Rasmus was a passenger. I think Garnacho worked hard but produced nothing. Ahmed played really well for what he did coming in into that system. Then maybe you get a chance, Scott, and you get lucky. Maybe from a set piece or something like that. And I'm all right with that. 1-1 draw against Arsenal, I'd have been happy with that. But all season long, I've just seen United play a mad style of football. I'd like to know what people say in our comments so they can comment on this, because I want to know how United fans feel about that, because we want to see entertaining football, but it cannot be at all costs. You have to manage football results and football games better than we have this season. We've almost gone the whole season now, Scott, playing the same style of football that hasn't worked at all.
Kingy says, our decision-making in the final third is consistently poor. Pass when we shoot yeah. when we should pass. Surely that's down to coaching.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
Are you talking about here? Garnacho is the one that jumps out at me, really?
Mm. Yeah.
I don't know how many of you guys are old enough to remember when Ronaldo broke through at United. It took him 3-4 years. Literally 3 or 4 years. That was Ronaldo. This pass when we should shoot, shoot when we should pass.
Yeah.
Pass. I can't say that. That was Ronaldo.
I agree with the comment.
I've had a few step overs in there.
Yeah, I agree with the comment in the sense that my son actually said the same thing to me during the game. He said, why don't they cross the ball more? What do you reckon, Dad? And I went, I honestly think they're told not to. I honestly don't think that.
I'll tell you why they didn't cross the ball more today. I'll tell you why. Well, would you cross the ball in at Arsenal? Really?
Probably not, because the centre backs are so competent at dealing with that. But I think the same thing goes in terms of creativity, is that I think Garnacho is not really a winger. He's a wide forward and he wants to run the channel, and he does it quite well. But you can see today, like, he looks like
someone who's like running out of gas. I saw a tweet earlier on as well about Scott McTominay running forward with the ball and saying he looks like he plays football with Doc Martin boots on. And it's true. There's a lack of control about it, Scott. But I think if they'd played like this all season long and tried to maybe work these things, that we would get towards the end of the season and we would be better. Like we'd get to a point where they've gone through these drills all the time. But quite often United, they just want to play transition, don't they? And that means run fast in straight lines. So it doesn't surprise me that when they get to the box, they run out of ideas. And that is 100% coaching. I agree with the comment.
I'm trying to scroll through. It's difficult when you can't hear things because I'm on the podcast with you. But Roy Keane has said about Ten Hag, I hope he's given more time, which is interesting.
I think there's a little bit of that vibe coming from the United, what I would call it, Illuminati. Yeah, the people that people look towards who are there all the time under the skin of the surface of the football club from either playing for us or not, is that there is this vibe that people would like to see Ten Hag stay in the job till next year. You and me have also both said that we wouldn't be against that. Like, we just feel like that he's doing a really good job at getting himself sacked maybe this season. And I get that. I think former players are coming out and they're kind of saying that. They're saying, well, what will a new manager do for the football team? And I understand that completely. I just think that, again, I posted a picture earlier on with Jim Ratcliffe and Sir Dave Brailsford stood there before the game, hours before kickoff, looking out over Old Trafford from a gantry. Long before it's raining. I think he's there with a glass of red wine in his hand or something, or a cup of tea. And they know what they want to see. And I think actually today they'll say, yeah, you did better. It was better today. Better than what we've been watching. No doubt about it. Is this something that maybe you can replicate next year with better players? Like something more coherent? 4-2-3-1, something more compact? If Erik ten Hag says yes, then he might be around Scott. But if he goes, no, I'm doing 4-1-5 forever, I get the feeling he won't be around much longer.
Do you feel like... What? Let me ask you this then. So... has Ten Hag playing that way today in loss damaged his position or helped it?
Oh, you're reading my mind, Scott. I don't like when you read my mind.
Let me
when you read my mind. I know what you're saying.
I'm pro Ten Hag. Everybody accuses me of that, right? What if
Ten Hag stan? That's what you are.
A Ten Hag stan. What if Erik Ten Hag has essentially been going alone in terms of his vision? For up until about March, April, whenever Wilcox started. And we've all spoken about previously, he has no support. Now, Jason Wilcox is in the building, all of a sudden the chat about a game model, and you're suggesting that Jason Wilcox has been a conversation with Ten Hag, and like, do they want to actually want to play this way instead? You know, would it be fair to say that Ten Hag's been going it alone, trying to do it the way that, ironically, after he said this team can't play like Ajax, to play the way Ajax played? Because interestingly enough, I think I mentioned it on the podcast a couple of weeks ago, a couple of my colleagues at work, Tottenham fans, were looking back on the Tottenham 3-2 against Ajax in the Champions League semi-final, and said the closing moments of that game looked like Man United of this season.
Yeah, wild.
Which is interesting, because everything falls at like... house of cards, it falls apart. If something doesn't work, everything falls apart. If it works and everything works in tandem, it actually looks quite good. You know, I've also said on this pod as well, I think this system that he's trying to play could go from looking absolutely terrible to really good in the click of a finger by just a couple of tweaks in terms of personnel. I've said that a few weeks ago. It's probably going to get me a lot of stick, but honestly, I think it'll be a sharp one. I think it'll be a sharp one. But I've been going on too long now. I asked you a question. Has that performance and that style of play that they played today done more damage to Ten Hag or supported the argument for him to stay?
If I'm his manager, I'm his boss, and we sit and we talk about games all the time, Scott, we talk about tactics, talk about vision, talk about what we can do. If I'm Sir Jim Ratcliffe, I'm saying to him, why have you not done this before? And that actually runs again. It's the analogy I use about business all the time, because that is the thing you ask your staff. You ask your staff these real, like, real potent questions. You go, these are the solutions, so why have you not done them before? And quite often the response is a woolly. And I think the problem with Erik ten Hag is, Scott, is that Man United might be a religion, but we don't need a saviour. We don't need someone to die on a hill for the football club. We need someone to go organise. Let's stop losing games and being some absolutely madcap football club. We need control. Last year he did it, Scott. He won himself a trophy. He got third with pretty much the same squad. You know, he hasn't really got any more out of it this year. He's had more injuries. But he's proved today, Scott, with a scratch side, that he can play more competent football. And I totally agree with all the comments saying, you know, if he'd done this earlier in the season, maybe we just would not be where we are today. I completely agree. If he'd done this in the Champions League, Scott, I think we'd have gone on easy. But he didn't. In the Champions League, he decided that he was going to play some kind of crazy basketball style of football, and he lost football games. And that's just why we went, oh, it's the players. But these tactics are going to make the players look bad anyway, aren't they? So, I don't know. Passing a football, Scott, should be sacrosanct. Should be something you have to do. You have to do it. You just, in every football match, you have to have some kind of possession. And United this year have gone from, like last year, wanting to keep the ball and play 4-1-5 and being higher at the pitch and having a press, to this year, just not doing it anymore. It's like he's gone, no, I'm not doing it. I'll cut my nose off. Here we go. Despite my face. Don't do that, Erik. It's a bad look. It will get you sacked. So, no, I don't think it makes him look any better. I don't think it now suddenly shows that he's a good coach, because I said on Twitter earlier in the week, I went, I actually don't believe Erik ten Hag's a bad coach. He's been a coach for 12 years. He's managed different situations, different scenarios, spoken to people at clubs who have worked with him and around him. Everyone says he's an intelligent coach, knows what he's doing. This year, Scott, he decided to do something a little bit crazy, and it hasn't worked, has it? So I don't think the powers that be at Ineos are going to go, yeah, we feel good about that. Like you just said there, like two or three or four players and it will suddenly click and it will work. I don't believe that. I think this system needs highly individual players to coach, to be able to work into a system. And I don't think you're any closer to playing like an attacking style of football where you just play counter press. I think you're miles away from that, like 2 years of coaching. I would rather see that you just bring it back to the base level and you play 4-2-3-1, keep the ball a little bit more and be a little bit more smart.
David says, what if Ten Hag wants the sack so he can go to Bayern Munich? Interesting.
There's a lot of people saying it. He's not the
and
only
also
one
the, we haven't been able to we've been on air since this has happened. This hasn't happened in the Sky Sports post-match. Did you hear Rooney throwing the injured players under the bus, saying he knows they could play if they wanted to, but certain players are saving themselves for the Euros and the Cup final?
I've also heard that too. So I'm not surprised. Like, we haven't heard that today from Wayne, but I have heard that. Yes, I've heard that there is some of that going on.
Do you blame them?
No, I don't. And I actually think that maybe Erik ten Hag is complicit. No, I think Erik ten Hag is complicit. I think he knows. So I think he wants to go into that cup final with the chance of winning a trophy. So I do understand that. You know, what do we gain here today, even if we'd beaten Arsenal? You know, say we'd beat Arsenal 4-0 and it was amazing. And we sat here going, that was an amazing game of football. Wow, Man United. I've said last week or two, the next 3 weeks of football to the end of the season mean nothing really, even including the cup final. But to Erik ten Hag, cup final does mean something, doesn't it? So if he's kind of saving his aces up his sleeve to be able to have a hand to win a football match, it doesn't surprise me. And I also not massively against that. Like, it's just, you have to manage your situation, don't you? So I think Wayne's right on that one. And
yeah,
Wayne,
I mean,
know.
If you're in a player's shoes, well, you really want to go and try and get Man United into sixth. Like, to me, like, yeah, United, like, and maybe this is me being elitist. Like, United should be challenging for league titles. I'm not bothered about seventh, eighth. Are you? Should these players be? Like, really?
No.
When they have a summer tournament coming up where they can win a title for their country, potentially?
Yeah.
Or an FA Cup? You know, maybe that is the case. Mm. But...
Baseball fans, BetMGM is giving you the chance to win a prize every day during the baseball season. Step into the batter's box for BetMGM's Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. Pick any area of the strike zone and take your best swing. If you get a single, double, triple, or home run, you'll receive a prize. Smash a home run to collect a bonus bet on us. Just log into your BetMGM sports account to get started. Then visit your promotion section to access the Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. You'll score a prize if you hit a single, double, triple, or home run. There's nothing more exciting than going yard. So swing for the fences with the king of sportsbooks. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards vary depending on the market and expire 24 hours from issuance. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
At Parker, our purpose is simple. We want to make the world a better place. By working more efficiently, by using more sustainable practices, by developing better technologies, we keep moving forward. With each new idea, innovation, and partnership, we're one step closer to fulfilling our purpose every single day. To find out more, visit parker.com/purpose. Parker, engineering your success.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at cenovus.com.
If you're not top four, then don't bother coming anywhere. That's, again, like all season long on our show, I've said that quite a lot, that I don't look at the league table, because while the performances are so bad and the results are so sketchy, you can only be where you don't want to be. But if you're not top four, then, like, so what? Like, if you're not in the Europa League, so what? You know, it's just, it doesn't, it's not what I'm looking at. I want Man United to be title contenders. And that means that you have to do stuff a little bit differently, doesn't it? So, yeah, like even with the cup final, Scott, like say you save these players, you beat City in the cup final. What does that mean? Well, to me, it means nothing. Like you've won a trophy and that's cool. It doesn't mean that you're better. It doesn't mean you're further on in your project. And that's where we have to be now. We have to be much further on in this project. That's where I think Eric maybe has missed a trick this season with all the injuries even, is that he's not progressed the team at all tactically or in their own, like the maturity of the team. But I do understand a lot of that has been because of the injuries.
Just going to jump back through some comments from earlier. Kenneth says, why wouldn't Kambwala have played instead of Casemiro? We also have Amrabat steady in the ship, perhaps better than Casemiro. Kambwala was injured, wasn't he?
He has been, yeah. Yeah, he had a knock. I think they decided today... Obviously, Johnny Evans played, and Johnny Evans has been injured and still injured. So Johnny Evans, I don't know if you saw when Johnny came off for Kambwala, that the manager gave him a massive hug, like proper hug, was like, thank you so much, because Johnny Evans putting his body on the line to play for Man United. You know, that's what it is. I think with Kambwala, yeah, he's been coming back from an injury. I don't think, again, tactically, in the position, Casemiro is better than Kambwala, even though Casemiro's got all the Champions League trophies. Like, I would have preferred to see Kambwala. That's how I felt when I saw the team sheet. I went, just play Kambwala and maybe take him off after an hour, you know, and bring Casemiro in there to cover or something like that. But anyway, I digress. I think you could have made that choice, but again, we've not seen the fitness report, so maybe he wasn't ready to play from the start. But again, next season, Scott, that is your solutions, isn't it? You need these players who can plug and play and come into the team. And United had a lot of kids on the bench today, Scott, that maybe we'll get more minutes next year.
Yeah, I mean, I know Kambwala's had experience, but arguing to play any more kids against Arsenal today, I think it's you, as good as an experience it would be to play them. There's also the potential for the like damage, like if your debut is get a mauling by Arsenal, it's not the great thing. But I wanted to talk about Casemiro just because.
Oh, the goal as well.
The goal. We haven't talked about the goal yet, right? No. So. Who knows what could have happened if he hadn't have been so lazy? Was it lazy? What was
Casemiro
it?
Casemiro Slow, I called him. Casemiro Slow. I should have used that.
I don't think that was
going to
catch on, Rob.
Hashtag Casemiro Slow. I might have done if I was a bit more of a wide boy. I don't know. Lazy. Let me think about that word. Paul Pogba used to get called lazy all the time. I don't know if it is laziness. I think that players are sometimes built to do things in a certain way. And Casemiro has not really spent any time in his career playing at centre-back, having to run out to hold the line. So there can be that. But I just think it's just as obvious as... I don't even see in the replay, Scott, Casemiro jogging out, that Havertz is on the opposite side. And Havertz does the old... Oh, let me look at him. What's he doing? Oh, he's not pushing up. I'm going to go wide. I'm just going to keep myself onside. And as soon as he does that, it opens the game up, doesn't it? Because the ball goes through and then Casemiro's dead. He's left you for dead there with the offside. I don't overly blame him, Scott. Like, I just think he's out. He doesn't know what to do in that position. You think he should sprint out, but maybe Onana should be saying to him, get out before I pass this ball. You know, don't stand parallel with me. But that's a tactic at the moment, isn't it? It's to have that option from your centre-back to play a square ball. So, I don't know. I don't want to call it lazy because I've seen lazier things this year at Manchester United than that. And I've seen actually Casemiro do lazier things in midfield, you know, in his actual position this year. So he's playing an auxiliary position. He's playing at centre-back. I think we have to take the rough with the smooth.
It is easy to pile on Casemiro at the moment. And yes, he was at fault for the goal, but...
It means nothing to me about it. Like, he's at fault to the goal, but like when we really in an ideal situation just don't want him there. And that's why I think the comment there about Kamwala is absolutely valid, because you have actually got centre-backs that are fit at your football club. So you could have done it a little bit differently. But I think Casemiro's being asked to do way too much. Said last week's show, you know, when Jamie Carragher had a go at Casemiro and said, you know, as football leaving him rather than him leaving football. I don't think that's very fair either. I just think he's playing in a really tough position where you've got to have pace and you've got to have guile and you've got to kind of be more like Jared Branthwaite rather than Casemiro to play centre-back. So, yeah, that's where we stand with it. So I don't blame him for the goal.
Rohan, another comment. Ahmad needs to start more games since he's done well. And I think, obviously...
Definitely.
Who's that on, Scott? The cries today is, why hasn't Ten Hag played him more?
Mm.
And yeah, maybe you can
say I'm one of them crying.
Very neat and tidy. Great, good footwork, great feet. And he came off injured, of course, in a classic fashion.
Yes. Because he's not played enough games, is he? So he's not fit. So, like, absolutely no. Seeing him getting, like, a thigh injury there, that's probably the end of his season now. I think this is the thing. We do understand, like, again, we've done shows on this, said maybe he doesn't trust Ahmad, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But I think he showed today, I think Ahmed showed today that he has been massively underused. Absolutely. He could have played more games this year. I think that was the 42nd start of the season for Garnacho. That is too many games, especially when you've got someone like Ahmed on the bench. You should be swapping them in and out. It's just the truth. And then Amrabat, you know, I did a video early in the season called the Amrabat solution. And people were like, oh, look, Rob, there's no solution at all. What I meant by the video, if you watched it, is that he can just give you minutes. That's all it's about. Help you.
People actually pulled you up saying there's no solution.
Oh, look, I think what people have pulled me up on, well, no, because people take it binary, don't they? They just go, they see the title of the Amrabat solution, which is what the video was called. And I get that. I know that's you put ourselves out there to be shot. But again, I think we saw today that Amrabat is a footballer. Like, he can help you do stuff if you use him in certain positions. He's not the best in the world at it. But he's surely better than you just saying, oh, everyone's injured all the time and trying to do the same thing and repeat. So I think today Amrabat was all right. I think he kind of, did you see Scott as well with the shape? Like it was 4-2-3-1, but quite often we went back to last season, just briefly at times, we went to 4-1-5 and that Cobby was allowed to go do the Ericsson role, push in from the 6 to the 8 to just at the back of the base of any press. And Amrabat just filled the gap, kind of playing the Casemiro role. And do you know what? They were the best spells of the games for United. United controlled the game in those moments. They looked calm and they looked like they knew what they were doing. Question has to be, why have you not played these players more? Because they helped you, but you've stuck with something that hasn't fundamentally worked at all. Casemiro as well, but Amrabat will be on his way out of the football club. There's no doubt about that. But you need to buy players that help you play systems. So if you've got one or two of them, maybe use them. Like, could have done with the Sabitzer this year. You know, it's just what it is. You had players that you have used over the last 2 years and had systems that you could have used, but instead you've tried to just be stubborn and stick with the same thing. But those two players, I think, did themselves proud today. I think they performed for Man United against a very, very good opponent.
Yeah, it's just depressing, really, isn't it? That we're talking like this and Arsenal is so far ahead, having been in a position similar to this just a few years ago.
Yeah.
But it is it does go to show it's possible. And well, maybe United are in a worse situation, you know, for the debt, for the stadium, for the wages. I don't know. There's a ton of it.
We look like a Thomas Tuchel team today, Scott. Like, I'm not trying to put that in there just to create needle with people.
No, I agree.
But we played 4-2-3-1 today. We had really good control from defence to midfield. The midfield was not frivolous. And then you were on the attack. And the problem today was that United's attack was toothless, as we've said there. But I think it's because Garnacho has run out of juice. I think that's where we are. I think Hoyland looks like he's running out of juice now as well. So I think when you add all those things in together, yeah, you want Bruno on the pitch to give you the creativity, and you maybe want Rashford when he's on form to help you on the left. But overall, I think you need a kind of different mindset. And today was slightly different. And that 4-2-3-1, this is why Eric hasn't probably done himself any favours, because like, can you imagine now if he sat there with Jason Wilcox in the office at Old Trafford and they're going, we've asked you about this, manager. Why have you not done this since we've been here for 6 months? So Eric, I'm sure, has his reasons. I'm sure he's a professional coach. Just that sometimes I think he's probably going to live and die by these decisions. He's not going to help himself.
But does it not work against, like, if he's shown that he can do it,
yeah,
and he does it more regularly, and that if he has different players, well, you know, or if he does this into next season, if he stays,
yeah,
is he not? Is that not saying, hey, Ineos, I can actually do the job. You can actually save on the compensation and the amount of money it'll take you to find another manager.
Certainly. Like, I think that's what we've all been waiting to see, Scott. We've actually been waiting for Eric to kind of go, look, I bite my hand. I'm not doing these things anymore because I'm definitely losing games. I can see that with my own eyes. I'm on the side of the pitch. The whole stadium can see it. But we need to change stuff. And I think his lack of flexibility this year has been much more damaging to results than the injuries. I'll say that because I think you can still coach players, even if they're young or maybe they're fringe players, or I was going to say Donny van der Beek, but maybe not Donny. But, you know, you've got players there that can help you do stuff. We've just talked about Amrabat and Ahmad. So these players are in your squad because you pay them a wage, Scott, to help you. If you don't use them, then the question has to be why. And I know that Eric wants to do things a certain way, but, you know, I always say risk and reward only works when the reward outweighs the risk. And you spent all season long, Scott, just slamming United's head into the ground. That's how it's been. It's the truth. And I don't think it helps him. I used an analogy earlier on about staff and business. Again, I'll use it one more time. I've been in a situation before where I've had people work under me and I've demanded that they do stuff differently. So you've got to do it like this. And they don't do it like that. And then eventually they do and say it works. And then I'll say, right, why did you feel you didn't want to do it like that? And they'll say, I just thought doing it differently was better. Whole point is that only better if it's better. And then you can stand back and say, well, all right, get on with the job. Like, well done. It has to be some level of discipline. And I think Eric's lost that this year. I think Eric has just had a bit of freewheeling this year and thought, now I'll start winning games because we'll attack and we'll score goals. Sorry, mate, your goal difference shows that you failed on that this year. So maybe, Scott, this is where maybe there will be a stay of execution, because if United don't get a coach that they want, then you stick with Eric. And I'm not surprised that Roy Keane has said that. I know that Gary Neville has said that this week as well. And we've both kind of advocated for it. So he's got a chance to stay, but it also will not surprise me at all as if he wins the FA Cup, raises that trophy, and he looks on the side and the P45 is on his desk, because that's kind of, I think, how the season has panned out. It's been a failure of a football season, even if you win the trophy now.
Ashish says, also, from the managers who are shortlisted, and you've discussed who's more likely to promote youth, personally, I don't see Tuchel giving Amas and Shay Lacey a chance. Which is a fair point.
Yeah.
Very fair point.
Well, I think, again, there's always that that kind of leaning. People say, oh, there's no coaches out there. They don't exist. In fact, I should talk about Gary Neville. It's something he said earlier on in the week. He went, I don't think there's anyone out there who can do the job. My line on that is that there's always about 100 coaches out there that can do the job. Like, there is. You just have to go and find them. So if you wanted a coach, Scott, to fit a youth profile and to build, there's a bloke called Graham Potter who does that quite well available at the moment. Now, we don't want Graham Potter. But if that's what you want, then it is there. So you have to go and get it. But I think Eric has done well with the youth this year. I'm not sure whether he is the perfect coach to bring it through. I've seen a couple of people say, Scott, very recently, that they think the academy is better because of Erik ten Hag in the last 2 years. And what I'll say to that is Eric's not been involved in that massively directly. So he's used the players, he's used Cobby, he's used Garnacho. But I think you need maybe a first-team coach that has more investment in youth as well. And then you might be able to bring a few more through. Maybe that is Eric. If he decides to, again, bite his hand and bite his fist and say, yeah, I'm going to go that route, because it might work.
Denzel says, possibly Ineos asked him to adapt or leave. Mikey says, as soon as the season ends, it's a reset. We then see what Ineos are about and what they've been planning.
Mm, definitely. Both of those comments are great, because I think that's true. I think there's no doubt, Scott, if you're his boss, you would be saying this is not acceptable. You would be. You wouldn't be just going, oh, let's see what, let's wait and see. And on the flip side of that, you know, you get to the end of the season, and then it's up to Ineos, isn't it? It's totally up to Sir Jim Ratcliffe to kind of, you know, pull the trigger or move forward, because they're going to be investing a lot of money and they're going to have to buy for the football club, and the coach has to do what they want them to do. And if they don't think Eric won't do it for whatever reason, then of course they will have to replace him. That's the only thing they would be able to do in that moment.
Right. I did have a comment from David Pollard as well.
Great Mourinho comments. I'm reading a few. Yeah, they're really, really good. Thank you.
Mourinho played a team that said to the board, this is how it is without the players I want. Back me or sack me. They sacked him.
Exactly. That's a brilliant comment, that, because that's exactly what Jose did. What the manager's done this year has been so Jose Mourinho. It's like, I'm doing this and you haven't bought me the players, or so far it's been dysfunctional. But Jose did that in that final season, and he really sat on his hands, like, my God, saw him in presses, and he was so miserable for a whole year. And he was just like, you know, he didn't get Harry Maguire, did he? They sacked him, then bought Harry Maguire. And it was a bit like, oh, okay. So United made they pulled the plug on the Mourinho project. But I don't think that's been the case with Eric. Like, I don't think, you know, £400 million in a couple of seasons, it's quite a lot of money. It hasn't fixed things, of course. But yeah, it's been very Jose this season. It's surprised me a little bit, but managers sometimes opt to do that. Like, let's burn it down so I get what I want. He might get a big payoff, Scott, a year's worth of money for not doing another year's worth of work.
Right. Let me ask you this. We won't be around for too much longer. We'll wrap up shortly. But the home crowd today, as it was on Monday in the away end, I wasn't there, but on telly, they sounded great. Like, yeah, really, great. Really good.
Mm.
Like, what did... I'm not saying, like, fans can't go to stadiums and especially to Old Trafford and sing all day, like, without reason. But to me, when I was listening to it, I was like, are we collectively feeling now that we can sing because the season is nearly over and change and fundamental change might actually be on the horizon for once? Is that how you felt as well?
There is a level of hope that wasn't there before. That's the truth. Like, I think this is the whole thing about the Glazers, is that I actually didn't hear today through the portal of a television, I didn't actually hear any Glazer out songs, which is quite interesting, because you do hear them fairly regularly, obviously home and away. And there are obvious reasons for that. But I think what it showed, Scott, today, and also, you know, in the recent games, especially in adversity, I always say this, Man United is a club born from tragedy. It really is. It's a football club born from adversity. And I don't think United fans, especially the ones at games, like, are against those things. I don't think they're kind of spoilt brats or anything like that. I think that they look at it and they go, our job is to sing. And again, I kind of did a tweet on that the other day and said, that's really our jobs at games, is to support the boys and do what we can and sing for them. And you saw that today, is that it was just a jolly atmosphere, wasn't it? It was like, they were going to sing, Arsenal are here to win a championship, but our boys are actually playing okay. And even when you're just playing okay, we will be the 12th man. That's what we are. So, I've been going to Old Trafford since 1987, a long time. I'm very old. And I've heard some amazing atmospheres in my time, and I've been part of them. But today, Scott, was good, because I think we need that defiance. And I think the heart of the club is beating strong. I really, really do. We're in a better place. As those rivers came down the stairs today that we've tweeted about and talked about at the top of the show, you know, as I said, it's end days at Old Trafford. Like, this is the end of this stadium's life. And in a couple of years' time, I'd like to think that we have the best stadium in the world, like the very best stadium in the world. So guess what? For 2 years, you got to fix this football team. That's what you got now. You got 4 transfer windows. Go fix it. And I think they can, if they get rid of some players, Scott, and bring some new players in. The style of football then, it's not really important to me. Get back to winning. Get back to actually doing the right things. And if you've got the stadium to match it, Scott, 2-3 years down the line, maybe we're Arsenal. Maybe we're going away somewhere and going, you know, we need a win, a 1-0 win, because we're at the top of the table now. I think that's a reality that could be true in the future. I really, really do.
Please subscribe to the channel if you haven't done so already and you're watching for the first time. Just hit that like button, hit the subscribe button as well. We usually go live Tuesdays and Fridays for the Promise and Pod, but we will be departing shortly. Any final words from you today, Rob?
Looking at some of these comments again, thank you very much, as I said, for all your comments there. But one there is that says, ha ha ha, we missed Bruno, ha ha ha, you people love that vacated midfield, huh? Question mark. It's an old question on our show, you know, this year, is that the midfield has been vacant all year long, and yet today he didn't have Bruno and the midfield was better. So I don't blame Bruno for that. I really don't. So I don't want people to take it wrong, but I blame the tactics chosen for Bruno for what he's doing in there, because I don't think he's a number eight. And the midfield was better today, and I would rather see a midfield that wasn't vacated every week. And that comment's totally right, is that that's something actually whoever the manager is next year will need to fix that, definitely. I don't know what you think about that, Scott.
To me, I think, you know, Bruno needs to play in that 10. We said that a few weeks ago. To me, as much as the performance was like coherent, I thought it was toothless today. Absolutely toothless.
Yeah.
And Arsenal did not get out of second gear. Yeah. Honestly, they just sat in and defended after they scored, capitalizing on a mistake from United. They did what a professional good team should do. And that's that's all they did. Yeah. They did not need to come out and put 3-4 on. They didn't need to. If they wanted to go up a gear or two, I felt like they could have.
I think they had gears.
Bruno Fernandes not being there. You know, were blunt.
They were blunt.
Like Bruno or not, they're not that blunt when Bruno is there.
I think we all agree. I think that Bruno plays as a 10. That's great. And that's where we need Bruno to play. Like, if you want a creator, he's a creator, and playing as a 10 around the box. It's still, for whatever we're seeing this year, hasn't worked. Like, it doesn't matter how many chances you create. Man United have not scored anywhere near enough goals. They really, really haven't. But Bruno's literally the only one that creates stuff. So, like, you need someone who can create. But you can't have a creator then doing some of the regressive stuff in the eight and defending and closing gaps and all of that, because that doesn't work either. So I think it's more comments, Scott, about the wider team function and the tactics rather than Bruno Fernandes. Like, you miss Bruno today in that function of someone who's got a final ball at the very least. But yeah, I agree with the comment there. I think Bruno does give way too much space and the ball away when he's playing in deeper positions. Like, he just does. It's the truth.
Mikey says, we should play 3-5-2 with wing-backs, the middle centre-back to step into our midfield, Martinez, and have Bruno as a second striker.
Yes, please.
Guys, I know.
Well,
you watch. If anybody comes in and plays a 3-5-2,
I
miss the days of wingers. I'm telling you. They'll happen. Scott, I'm telling you it's going to happen.
Against Whataboutry, don't we? We've said that ourselves. Whataboutry. Of course people will say that. Of course they will. It's always people have got their preferences. But I think what everyone wants to see is success on a football pitch. So, like, if 3-5-2 works and you win, like, there's nothing wrong with 3-5-2. I think it's a great system. 3-4-3. You set yourself up. Crystal Palace, we talked about it last year. They beat us 4-0 playing 3-4-3, a system they've only been playing 6 weeks. So you can do it, and you do need to maybe do it rather than doing a system that doesn't work all the time. I've seen more United fans call for systematic change in the last year simply because we've been stuck in the same system. So I kind of understand it. I get it, and I actually do agree with it.
Right, final thoughts, Rob.
Final thoughts. Use this as a blueprint. Yeah, take this away today, Manchester United and Erik ten Hag, and go, yeah, we do want to be a counter-press team. We want to be a transition team. We want to be the best transition team in the world, like he said. Okay, cool. None of that's a problem. But learn to do what you did today and take it forward into football matches and mesh it with the style, because you cannot be just one or the other. You can't. Multiple things, as I say, can be true at one time. And I think that United this year have been way too loose. And even today, Scott, what I will say is that there were bits of the game that looked highly coached. And then I think in the attack, we looked toothless because we looked like there was a lack of ideas in terms of what they were asked to do. Like, again, Garnacho runs in straight lines. Hoyland runs in straight lines. There wasn't a lot of movement around it. Antony came on and just was Antony. Like, it's very like, I do this, don't I? Oh, good, on my left foot. Let's do that. No, there's no nuance there. So that's something I think going into next season, Scott. So you can take this game as a blueprint and say, okay, that's 50% of the job there, keeping the ball. So then the other 50% is to find a style that works and wins Premier League games. And that's where we have to be next season. Like, whatever happens with Eric, and we will do a million shows on this, no doubt, between now and the start of the season, and maybe new managers or old managers in this case, Eric must do better. He's got to do better. And today was a step in the right direction, even though a very, very small one.
Final comment from David. Is it a picture of Paul McGrath or Robbo behind Rob? It is Brian Robson.
There we go. That's Robbo. Yeah. Who is my favourite player of all time with Eric Cantona. I always say only two Man United players exist in my head and ever have done. Brian Robson and Eric, they are the only two. Everyone else has been great for us with many, many legends at our football club. But they're the two that really get me, because when I was a kid, they did things that even to this day, I still haven't seen players do in terms of like taking a game and controlling it and helping Man United be better. So, yeah, Robbo's a god, obviously. Greatest captain the football club's ever had.
United, way off their years of success. Way, way away from the promised land. But, you know, potentially, are there some shoots of positivity, even if most of them get washed away down the stairs at Old Trafford as the roof leaks? Right, lots to fix. But we'll be back later in the week to look ahead to... Oh, United play Newcastle, actually.
After, I think we'll be going.
On Wednesday night.
Yeah.
United play Newcastle Wednesday night. And then it's the final day of the season at Brighton before an FA Cup final on, I believe, the 25th of May against Manchester City.
Yeah.
Now, we'll see you, everyone, soon. If you're new to the channel, you've been watching today, please subscribe. Please hit that subscribe button and leave a comment for us as well. As we say, we usually go live. Well, usually drop episodes on Tuesdays and Fridays. Mm-hmm. Subscribe to the audio show as well on Apple and Spotify and give us a 5-star review. That will be uploaded shortly after we finish here. And on YouTube, leave the comments as well. Tell us who your favorite United player of all time is, like Rob has just done. Also, pop the notification bell on to miss a show. And follow us on social media at @_ScottSaunders, @_Rob_B, and @TPLMUFC. Elite Baller says, literally just got here and it's ending. LOL. Sorry, mate. But you can't go back.
Can we say one more thing, actually, just to end the show? Good luck to Arsenal in a title race. You got your 3 points at Old Trafford. Good luck to you. You know, you're going to go get this title, go claim it. Because I don't really want Man City to win it. Even I don't really want Arsenal to win it either, but it's the lesser of two evils, isn't it?
There you go. Let us know your comments. Who you prefer to win the league? I don't care. Really don't care. Anyway, if it's not United and it's not Liverpool, I don't really care. Anyway, right, that's it from us. Thanks for watching, everyone. Elite Ball, you'll have to scroll back through and just watch from the start, unfortunately. But the show is out now if you'd like to watch it, or you can catch it on audio in about 10 minutes when it's uploaded on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. Until next time, everyone, thanks for watching, and we'll see you soon for another Promised Land podcast with Scott and Rob.
Baseball fans, BetMGM is giving you the chance to win a prize every day during the baseball season. Step into the batter's box for BetMGM's Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. Pick any area of the strike zone and take your best swing. If you get a single, double, triple, or home run, you'll receive a prize. Smash a home run to collect a bonus bet on us. Just log into your BetMGM sports account to get started. Then visit your promotion section to access the Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. You'll score a prize if you hit a single, double, triple, or home run. There's nothing more exciting than going yard, so swing for the fences with the king of sportsbooks. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards vary depending on the market and expire 24 hours from issuance. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel.
Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Synovus.com.